Thank you very much. And a blessing to be with you this chapel morning, and I'm excited this new semester started. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's improving. Seems like every time I come, it seems like I get everybody hungry because all I hear is burrito, taco, and so I guess people are hungry, right? Amen. If we were only hungry of the Word of God like that, amen. Genesis, please. Genesis, please. The book of Genesis, please. I want to just share a thought with you this morning. A challenge, really. Hopefully, can help you ponder this this truth and help us spiritually. Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning in chapel service, and what a blessing it always is, an opportunity to share God's word with the student body and to see the group and the college students this semester. It's a blessing. What a wonderful group, and always a great spirit here in chapel, and it's an honor to preach the word of God to you this morning. Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says there in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the first of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I want to talk to you this morning just simply on two words that the Lord uses here as he is confronting Cain moments before he commits the awful sin registered in the Word of God against his own brother. There's much to say about this story. There's a lot to say about the offerings and why the Lord was wroth. Why the Lord did not respect Cain's offering as he did Abel's. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will let us share something in regards to that, but I want to focus on God's dialogue to Cain. Just moments before he destroyed his life, just moments before Cain destroyed Abel's life. And I find that sometimes we don't realize how terrible sin is, that we're always going to affect somebody else. Cain was so wroth, he was so blinded by his own anger and bitterness that he could not listen to God. He couldn't hear what God was telling him. And I find that sometimes it's when we are at the door of sin that God speaks to us the greatest. God speaks through us to circumstances, through trials, through messages, through even song. It seems like he's crying out to us before we go through the door that brings all the regret in our life. He speaks to us most. I believe God speaks to us every day. But maybe today, this morning, there's someone here at the sin of that awaits you, or that at the door, you're about to make a decision that's going to change your life and affect you and bring regret to your life. Maybe you've been contemplating a decision. Maybe you've been contemplating doing that one thing that the Holy Spirit has been trying to tell you, don't do that. And I want to share this thought because the dialogue that God said to Cain, it really stands out to me, being that I've worked through the years with a lot of young people. I started working with young people when I was 21 years of age, just married. I began to work with young people as a youth pastor. And through the years, over 20 years of working with them, I've asked myself the same questions. Without knowing, I've said the same statement that the Lord said in my heart when I think of a life that had so much potential. Notice with me what the Lord said in verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And then in verse 7 he says, if thou doest well. I want to talk to you this morning about the tragedy of why and if. The tragedy of why and if. Father, please help me this morning. Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would work in young people's lives. Maybe someone here today that is not where they're supposed to be. Maybe they're here physically, Lord, but inside they're not where they're supposed to be. There's issues, there's trials, there's questions, there's doubts. Father, please speak to our hearts this morning. Help me to listen as I preach to what you would have me to hear personally. And every one of these young students, Lord, please help them to listen with spiritual ears, not to pay attention to who's next to them or even to the delivery of the message. Just help us to have sensitive hearts to what you have to say to us this morning. I beg you this in Jesus' name. Amen. We know the story and we know how quickly Cain acted even after listening to the Lord. And you have to understand and take it for the context of what's going on. This is the children of Adam and Eve. This is post the fall of Eve. This is what the part of the consequences of the sins of the parents. But yet Cain is faced with a decision here. His actions here, his decision does not fall directly on Adam and Eve. This is a personal decision that he's about to make, which is why the Lord confronts him and he doesn't confront Adam and Eve. Matter of fact, in this particular chapter, they are not mentioned other than the fact that we know that Cain did not go to his parents for help, for guidance. It's one of the things that I want to share with you this morning, but it's amazing how many of us have so much potential, possibly for the Lord. That God, when we surrender to his will, when we decided to obey, when we decided to take upon that challenge that God laid in our heart, whether it was in a Bible conference, whether it was at a youth retreat or in some service, that we responded to God's calling, not knowing what to expect, not knowing how we would fare, how it would go for us. We didn't know anything. We just find ourselves here today in God's will, studying for his will and studying his word, and we know we're here now. But I know this is true, that so many times we can be present but yet absent. We can be doing things but yet not wanting to do those things. We're so easy as Christians to fall back on activity, fall back on experience, fall back on the things, on the norm, we know what to do, and we lean on that as if that is the measure of our Christianity, the measure of our spirituality. And somehow we convince ourselves, so long as I continue to do what I know how to do, I'll be okay, I will make it. Well, you see, Abel and Cain, they both did what they thought they were supposed to do. Cain did what he thought he was supposed to do. The Bible tells us that Cain was a tiller of the ground. He leaned on his experience, on what he knew what to do. He didn't sin because he did so. It was how he brought that offering and what offering he brought. He was his heart, what God was looking, and he didn't respect his offering as he did Abel's offering. The attitude behind his actions mattered more than the action itself. And so many times when I see young people, when I see good Christians that have so much potential for the Lord, that They have a desire and they're there and they're willing and able so many times. And yet you look quickly, you fast forward and you remember stories of young people that once served, that were involved and leaders and being examples and being used of God, really. Now you look back and they're not in the will of God. They're out of church. Some of them are in worse situations. And I know of several young people that are passed away, running from the Lord. And it's a tragedy. It's a very tragic thing. And I think of the Lord when I hear him say, why and if? These are two questions. You think of the word why, it's a simple definition. And I know what we understand what why means, but I want you to hear just in regards to what the Lord is trying to communicate to Cable. When he said why, he was talking about the state of not understanding. Something that doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It's something that God did not understand why Cain, knowing his intentions, knowing what was in his heart, it didn't add up to God, and he was trying to convince Cain of the same thing. What you're doing is not right. What you're about to do, Cain, whether you've spoken it or you've gone to do it, what you're planning to do, what's in your heart is not right, Cain. Why, he said, why art thou wroth? Why are you not reasoning? Why are you not seeing the big picture? Why are you not coming to me? Why aren't you trying to resolve? Why aren't you understanding that I am a God of mercy? Why don't you understand what I'm trying to convince you of? And so many times when we fall out of place spiritually, when we're not the Christians we're supposed to be, what I find to be is that we lose our reason. We lose our capacity to see things through the lens of the Lord, to think of others and to consider the outcome and the consequences. We act so irresponsible and so simple-minded. We think that what's important is my feelings and what I desire and what I want, and we make that decision and we suffer the consequences, and then we complain and we get wroth and we want vindication, and we want to clean our hands, and we want to offer excuses and people to understand us. And from the get-go, the Lord is trying to convince Cain, and he's saying, why? Why are you not understanding? Why are you not putting together the pieces? Why aren't you reasoning? I'm trying to help you here. The sin is at the doorstep and you're about to ruin your life. Consider the facts. Consider the matter. Consider what you've learned. Consider the scripture. Consider the bad examples. Consider those that are not amongst us anymore. Consider those young people that once were sitting in this same room and now are living godless lives and pagan lives and have completely neglected everything they've learned, and now they even say they don't believe in God, and it's a terrible tragedy. And that's exactly what God is trying to tell Cain here. He's saying, why do you insist on living that hypocritical life? Why do you not understand that without me you can do nothing? Why do you attempt to go through college without seeking my face and looking to please me through your offerings, through what you do, what inside your life and your heart? Why do you insist on living that double life, that sinful life in the background? You think no one will know. You think no one will find you out. You don't understand that God is watching you at all times. He knows everything you're doing, what's on your phone, what's on your computer, the messages you send out, the relationship you're carrying on with that young man, that young lady, the things that you talk about, the things that you desire to do. It's just a matter of time, and God is telling you this morning, why aren't you thinking of the consequences? Why aren't you thinking of those that you're going to hurt? Your parents, they have no fault. They're sending you off to college. They think you're here serving the Lord. They think you're here trying to please the Lord and serve the Lord, but you're doing things that are not convenient. You're doing things that are going to destroy your life. And God, I would think that he's telling us this morning, why don't you wake up? Why don't you stop doing what you're doing and realize that sin awaits for you? You're about to destroy your life. I've seen it too many times. And frankly, I'm bothered by it and tired of it. I really am. Exposed to so much truth and such a sweet spirit. I know we're not in comparison anywhere else, but this is a special place. The spirit of the place, the focus of this place, the drive, the motivation, the experience that is offered to you, the influence that God puts before you, and the opportunities to decide to do right. And it's almost like we lose reason. Just can care less of everything you've ever listened to or been taught or invested. I think of some of you that from your crib, from your birth, your parents were praying next to your bedside and asking God to bless you and to keep you and use you. And so many times when you see young people destroy their life, they waste it for something so insignificant, something so dumb, a moment of satisfaction, a moment of pleasure that lasts just but few minutes, and then your life falls into a terrible spiral down. You destroy your opportunity, your reputation, your testimony, things that come by way of work, of hard work, of dedication, of time. You just let it all go for something so dumb, not realizing all that's in stake. Cain did not understand at the moment because he was full of wrath. He was full of bitterness. He had all the reasons in his mind to justify him getting upset and killing his brother. In his mind, he had all the right to do what he was about to do. Despite the fact that God tried to reason with him, God spoke to him, had a one-on-one conference with him, and interrupted the universe just to try and salvage, to try and stop Cain from destroying his life and destroying Abel's life. And then he responds, but God, after the sin and after the terrible action that Cain had, he tells him, and he tells Cain, he says, Your brother. And Cain responds very prideful. What am I, my brother's keeper? It just seems that I wish sometimes we can stop people in time before they ruin their life. You see, that's exactly what happened to his parents. Eve gets caught up in this conversation with Satan, the serpent. And it begins to unwind. She falls. Adam falls. And before you know it, they're not where they're supposed to be. And the Lord asked, when Adam fell, he asked him, he says, "Where art thou?" And he says, "Who told thee?" And he says, "What has thou done?" Again, to reiterate and to emphasize that why. I think when Adam sinned and fell, I think the Lord, that was the same question he had. Didn't you and I have a good fellowship? Wasn't it a good thing that we had every day? Maybe I'd come to the same place and you and I would fellowship together, and you would speak to me about your difficulties and maybe the responsibilities I had given you to do, and I would help you and walk you through the situations and your struggles and your new relationship with your wife, and I would fellowship. But where art thou? How come you're not where you're supposed to be? Why aren't you where you're supposed to be? Who told thee? Why did you stop coming to me? When did I stop being the one source of joy in your life, the of wisdom, of hope, of fellowship? Why did you allow someone else to creep in and take that spot that I had in your life? Why did you allow someone else to teach you? And what hast thou done? I don't think they realize that the consequences that were at hand. And I think the Lord, again, he's now facing Cain, the son, and saying, Why art thou wroth? There's no win. It's not a win-win situation. Don't get mad. Understand. Don't get mad. Understand the trials. Don't get bitter. Understand the trials, that God loves you and he wants to submit us through trials. He wants us to learn how to depend on him. Don't see it as a no-win situation, as a moment that you have to decide against God's will. No, God wants you to suffer. God wants you to go through that difficulty. He wants you to learn what to do when there's nothing to do, when you don't know what to do. He wants you to understand how to survive when you have to depend on God for your next meal, when you have to depend on God that you don't have gas money and you don't know how to get to work. He wants you to maybe humble yourself and have to walk or ask somebody for a ride. Maybe these are lessons in life that he wants to help you so you can know how to reason better for the trials that are waiting for you in the ministry, in your future. But we sometimes allow ourselves to be cornered by our pride, by our bitterness, and by our doubt. And we make decisions that destroy any opportunity or possibility that we might have to be used of God. And the question this morning is very simple. Why? Why do you insist on doing what you're doing when you know it's wrong? Why do you insist on listening to that music that you know it's not godly music? Why do you insist on looking for that one habitual sin that you know it has you as a prisoner, and God is a God that gives us freedom, but yet you're captive to that sin and you try and hide it from everyone else, but sooner than later your sin will find you out. Sooner or later it will become public, and I believe God is trying to reason with you. Let that pride out of your heart. Get that bitterness out of your heart. Get right. Be right. Be in the right place inside your heart, because the consequences are too great. Cain, you don't want that door. You don't want to walk through that door. Man. Trust me, there's too much pain. There's too much suffering. People are going to get hurt. Your reputation, you're going to be forever running without hope, without security. You're going to be running because you didn't understand. Well, you wouldn't listen to reason. And that's exactly where a lot of Christians that destroy their lives, their marriages, their homes, they walk away from ministry and all that God has gifted to them as a privilege to serve in whatever capacity, whether it was as an assistant pastor or a pastor, or whether it was a song leader or a bus captain, or whatever it was that God allowed you to do for his glory. We just whisk it away like if it's whatever and we can get it all back. That attitude that Cain had, what is he, my keeper? Is this the only thing to do? So many young people, that's where they get. They get to a place where they don't appreciate everything God has done, where they're at, and they think that they can get something better somewhere else. And any college is any college, and any career is any career. And so long as I can just make money, and so long as it's this and that, and so long as I can just, you know, end up with this person, it doesn't matter how we get there, you know, let's just get together and we'll walk away from this Bible college and studying and the will of God and the calling of God in our life. Let's just get what we desire to get. And so long as we're together, we'll be okay. And all that is just garbage thinking. Instead of ask the question that God says, why? Is it worth it? Is it really worth it to sin? Is it really worth it to have that attitude? Is it really worth it to throw away everything that God is trying to do through you and in you? Is it really worth it? God's saying, why? Why, Cain? You know, Cain, he didn't offer his best. He was a bitter person. He had no wisdom. He could have ran to his parents. No mention of his parents in this story. He didn't fear the Lord. And the consequences that came to his life were a curse. He was running a life without the presence of the Lord. And God was trying to stop him. It's just a simple question, why? Then he says, if. The suggestion of a possibility or a probability. The conclusion of a reaction or an action based on a position. If you would only had listened. If you would only had obeyed. If you would only had come to that altar that day. If you'd only had repented, if you've only admitted, if you've only confessed, if you'd only react, if you'd only humble yourself, if you'd only had listened to your mom and your dad, if you'd only paid attention to that one chapel message, if you'd only had taken that phone call, if you only not ignored that one text message, if you'd only had given that tithe and offering and try to stop pretending to take from God, if you'd only had gone soul winning on your bus route instead of lying to your bus captain and going somewhere else and hiding out and doing things that you shouldn't do, if you'd only had stay through that semester and finish your semester in Bible college, if you'd only hung up on that one friend that's the bad friend and maybe let go of that friendship that you shouldn't have had, maybe if you'd only had understand that that one relationship you're in, instead of getting you closer to God, has gotten you away from God, and if only you had the courage and the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding to realize and see the whole picture that the sin is waiting behind that door. And God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I believe that he was still giving him an opportunity here. I really do believe that God was giving him an opportunity. I listened to God's conversation and what he's proposing to Cain, he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. It's almost like he was telling them there's still hope. You still have a chance. Listen, God is a God of second opportunities. No matter where you're at this morning, no matter how much you failed him, even if no one else knows what you're doing or what you've done, maybe you're already pondering to go back home. Maybe this week has just been too difficult already for you and you're second guessing God's calling. Maybe you're thinking of financially. You're not thinking of God can do. You're thinking what you can do. And you're not looking at any possibilities there. You're not understanding the whole big picture that faithful is he who calleth, whom also will do it. God called you and he will supply the need. He will. He does not make mistakes. There's no ifs in God's possibilities. It's you if you trust in him, if you believe in him and his promises, if you would only just trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But if you'd only just believed, if you'd only just stuck through it, if you'd only just not quit on that bus route, I was about to do this. I was about to show you what I was going to do through you. I was about to fill up that bus. I was about to do something, bring a family, change someone's life. I was right around the corner from doing something in your life. But you started hanging around with that one person. And that one person believed in making money and believed in this and away from the things of God, and I don't have time for God, and I don't have time for this, and why don't you just get with me? Listen, stop suffering. Come with me, and let's do this, and let's do that. And God's saying, if you'd only, would have stopped that relationship right there in his tracks. Amen. He was that close. Cain was that close, and I believe, metaphorically speaking, God was pointing to a door and saying, Cain, don't make that turn. Don't make that call. Don't make that decision. Just stop where you're at, Cain. There's still hope. Right now, if you just come running to me, Cain, I can fix this. I can help you. I'll give you a chance to correct your offering. I will help you, Cain, but Cain was so bitter. He was so messed up on the inside. He didn't care enough to listen to God, and surely he didn't care enough for his brother. And that's exactly what happens when we're messed up inside. We don't have the ability not even to care for ourselves. We don't have ability to care for others, how this is going to hurt other people and our parents and people that love us and people that respect us, even young people that believe in us, families that are waiting for us, that are hoping that we return to that bus route and that we go looking for them and help them, and that one Sunday school class, those children that are waiting because they get encouraged when you come in and you teach and you have a smile on your face. They don't know it, but God knows that maybe that smile has been pretentious, maybe that attitude, maybe that service has been hypocritical in your part. But even all that might be true, God says this morning, if you'd only come to me, if you'd only stop where you're at, I can still turn things around. I can still make things happen in your life. I can still do the impossible. I am a God of mercy. If you come to me and confess your sin, I will forgive your sins. I am a God of second opportunities. I give grace to those that humble themselves. Just come if you would only listen this morning. If you'd only understand that it's you that God's talking about, and stop looking or thinking about somebody else, and stop analyzing the message, and stop thinking about what you have to do after chapel. Hey, what God's saying is if you'd only listen, if you'd only listen to that one message. Amen. That God had foreordained for you, had God prepared for you. As God came to Cain that morning and he said, hey, I'm right here. I'm not attending anybody else right now. I'm not talking to anybody else. I've left your parents to the side just for a second, because I'm right here with you right this moment, Cain, not your brother. With you, I'm trying to stop you. I'm trying to make you realize that it's worth it. I'm trying to make you understand and reason with me. There's consequences to your sins. If you'd only listen, Cain, if you'd only understand, if you'd only humble yourself to say, Lord, are you trying to speak to me somehow? Somehow this morning, this random message, this random devotional, whatever you want to call it, is this for me, Lord? Is this the reason why I'm here? Is this what you wanted for me? Is this what's going to make a difference for me this semester, for my next couple years in life? Is this message going to make a difference with my relationship with that young man or that young lady? Will this make a difference for me in the ministry and the hopes that I have to serve you one day? If I would only listen, then maybe God would have done with you what he did for Abel. If you just only had listened. You'd only listen beyond your bitterness, beyond your complaints, beyond your doubts, beyond your letdowns, your struggles. If you just only humble yourself to say and admit, Lord, is it me? And I'm acting in a way that I don't care about my brother. Is it me that I didn't learn from my parents' mistakes? Is it me this morning, Lord, that I have an attitude of I don't care so long as I get what I want? Is it me? I always think about those dear friends that I have that in the conclusion of their ministry or in the conclusion of their lives, they're not too happy. Not in the will of God. They were once in the will of God. They were once serving. They were once involved. They were once my leaders, my mentors, my teachers. Something happened along the way. Somebody creeped in. They start listening to the things they shouldn't have listened to. They started hanging around with someone they shouldn't have hanged around. And I am sure, because I've seen it in my own life, that God spoke to them clearly. Because I know so many times in my personal life when I've been weak or if I've been doubting on something or maybe discouraged, God speaks through me through ways that I would never imagine. He'll speak through me through a commercial. He'll speak through me through a young person, a child, a Sunday school class. He'll speak through me through a choir song, through any little thing. And I can almost just hear the Lord telling me, wake up. I'm good. I'm faithful to you. I'm still here with you. I still want to use you. I still care about you. I still am with you. You know, I think of this one time that I was on my way home from a baseball game, and I was all we lived in the ghetto, and I played in the rich community because my mom, my parents send me over there to play baseball to get me away from the gangs of my neighborhood. And because both parents always had to work, they never had a chance to go to any of my games or practices, much less. But I'd have somehow would get on a city bus and go across town about 30 minutes to get to my baseball games or practice. And I was just always so embarrassed, because most of my friends would go to the same school I did, so I knew where they lived, I knew their homes, and I'd like to go over to their homes many times because they had what I didn't have. But I was embarrassed when their parents would ask me, hey, Andy, do you need a ride home? And I would tell him, no, my parents, they're on their way. And it was a lie. I'll get home. No, I already got somebody coming for me, I would say. Sometimes when I would get the courage and maybe I didn't have any money for the city bus or maybe I had no way to get home, I would get a ride and I would always, I hate to admit it, but I would lie on where I lived. I would get dropped off in a nice neighborhood blocks away and walk very slowly to the front door to make sure that they drove off. And then I'd walk blocks home to the apartment building, to the ghetto where I lived. Don't ask me why, but that's just the way it was. But I remember this one time, it was very late. It was maybe 9 o'clock at night. It was a late game. It was a Thursday night. And I had no way to get home. We had just finished the game. I had an opportunity to go home with somebody, but because I lost my batting glove out in the fields, I went out. I was looking for that. I didn't want to go home without something that I had spent a lot of money on myself. I didn't want to lose it. And by the time I found it, everyone was gone home. And I said, well, I'll just catch a bus. And I went to the bench where the city bus passed. By now it's 9:30, and there's no city buses coming through at that time. So I'm sitting there about maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I realize there's no city buses coming through. And so I'm thinking, okay, I just have enough to try and call home without using my bus fare in case the bus still comes. Sometimes it would take an hour space between the city buses pickups. So I was still thinking maybe there's one coming. So I used it was 35 cents or 25 cents of Wood City payphone. I ran across the street, called home, and nobody was answering the call. And I hung up and I waited 5 minutes. I still see that I called again. I had to call collect. And nobody was answering the call. The operator said, sorry, there's nobody answering. And I said, okay. Hung up. It was now 10 o'clock. And I'm 10 years old. And I have no way to get home. And on the bus is 30 minutes. So I said, well, I guess I'm walking home. And I walked home that evening. I got home. It was close to about 11:30 at night. On my way home, it was the most loneliest walk I had ever walked in my life. I had been alone many times, but never like this. Because I had no one looking for me. I felt no one cared where I was at that moment, why none of my siblings or my parents were even answering the call. I felt so alone. As I was walking home that evening through a busy highway, I said to myself, cars were coming through. I was driving, trying to keep in the dark, in the shadow, so I wouldn't alert a police officer or somebody walking by or driving by. I was just being cautious. As walking home, I thought to myself, I bet you if I jumped out and got hit by a car, maybe at home, they wouldn't even notice till like 24 hours, 48 hours later. And all these thoughts were going through my mind, and as I was walking home, I finally got home at 11:30. I was tired. I had walked home in cleats all the way home. I got home and knocked on the door. My brother was watching TV and my sisters were asleep. My father, I had gone home late from work. He was sitting there asleep on the couch and in his uniform still. And my mother was working. She hadn't been home yet. And I got home and I entered into the apartment, 11:30 at night, 10 years old, in the middle of the ghetto. Not my brother, not my father, not anyone asked me, hey, where were you or what's going on? Or I'm glad, or how did it go? Nothing. I just walked in, and it was like no one walked in. And I went into the restroom, and I remember I started changing. I just broke down. I started weeping. And that night, as a 10-year-old kid, it's a dumb thing, but I thought, I'm just going to gather my things in a bag and just leave. I put my things in a bag. I got in the restroom. I got out of the restroom, changed. And I was just walking out the apartment. My mother's coming home from work. And she stops me. She says, where are you going? I said, well, and I told her the story. She started crying, and she grabbed me, and she hugged me. And she said, you know, today at work, I was thinking about you, and I was this close to leaving my job to to go watch you play. But as I was walking out of my job, my supervisor asked me to do something and I couldn't leave. But something was telling me that I needed to go watch you play. And she said, "Son, I'm so sorry that we weren't there." She hugged me, I hugged her. She convinced me to go back inside. That was pretty easy. Went back inside. Again, my father sleeping, my brother watching TV. I went to sleep that night and I said, "I guess that's just the way it is with me." Now I look back, obviously it's just a childhood experience, but the one thing that stands out to me was what was going on in my mind when I felt all alone. I really thought I would, if I killed myself, no one would care. The second thing I thought, if I leave this home, it doesn't matter. At 10 years old, all because I experienced that alone time much more than what I should have experienced at that age. I say that because I want you to understand, a lot of people make bad decisions. A lot of young people destroy their life because they think and they feel that there's nobody there for them. God was there for Cain that day. He said, "No one else knows but you and me. Cain, don't do it. Don't do it. Because there's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to think that how much I would not have been able to experience in life, how much I would not have been able to do for the Lord, the family that I have, the children that I get to enjoy, if I would have decided that night a bad decision. All that I would have missed out on." I believe there's someone here today that you're just that close, that the sin waits at that door. And you're just this close to making a decision that's going to alter your life forevermore. I would beg you, I would ask you today, maybe the Lord is speaking to you. The tragedy of why and if is because Cain didn't listen. He didn't listen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you please, Lord, bless this invitation. Help us this morning, Lord, to understand with our hearts. And maybe we don't need this message today, Lord, but I'm sure, very confident, Lord, that somewhere down the line, especially if we desire to serve you in the ministry, there's a lot of solitude in the ministry. There's a lot of alone time with you and in the trials and adversities in the ministry. Things that wait. I can remember many times in Bible college, struggling, looking for ways to pay my bill, felt very alone. And so many times temptations came, but it was by your grace, Lord. One chapel message that I heard, or one Sunday morning Sunday school lesson or message that I heard through a conference that would just change things around for me. Father, would you please do the same this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder if God would have spoken to you this morning. To you. And maybe he's asking you why and if. Consider the possibilities. Consider if you would just respond to God today. As the piano plays, if God has spoken to you.